Guardians, they play the Yankees tonight. And I'm trying to avoid another conversation there, you know, about, you know, what happened yesterday. So let's bring in Zach Meisel, who joins us right now from The Athletic. He's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline, where Zach, I think, owes the fans in Cleveland an apology. He said the Guardians were going to win in four. They won in five.
I'm actually here to talk about the offensive line.
Oh, you are you? Yeah, wait a minute. You got to say something good about the Guardians before you go complaining about the Browns. You got to follow the rules
Those
like
are
everybody
the rules.
Else.
They have been, honestly, since the start, they never get off to good starts. I feel like they've been a beacon of hope since late March.
Interesting. Okay. Nadi, what do you want to say about the Browns if you actually want to say it?
It's hard to watch.
Did you actually try to watch yesterday?
I watched a little bit as I was getting on the road, but I it's just like not, I don't know. It's not fun. It has me thinking back to the days where there were no expectations, and it's like, well, if Spurgeon Wynn can't complete the pass to Juwan Dawson, like, oh, well, I'll go on with my day.
Oh, God. This is already too depressing. We're moving on. Zach Meisel joins us. How long would you let Alex Cobb go tonight?
Longer than he went in Detroit. I know they had a day off yesterday, but, man, that bullpen's got to be something close to gassed. So I would, you're going to have a little bit of a longer leash. Like, I'm guessing Tanner Bibee goes at least five tomorrow, which he didn't do in the Detroit series. So, and then you get to the middle three games in Cleveland. There's no days off in between those. So you're going to have to lean on the starters a little bit more and kind of pick your spots better. Like, I don't know if you can have Cade Smith warming in the second inning in these games here.
Did Stephen Vogt get a little lucky with the rotation and the bullpen here in this last series, especially with the bullpen on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you script it out, you're starting with like your ideal plan, which was probably Boyd one time through the order, and maybe that was more than two. Maybe it would have been like two and two thirds or something, and then you hope you can stretch Cade Smith to maybe get you through four plus. And then you just piece it together, and you're hoping that you don't need to go to anybody except that core four in the bullpen. Now, maybe you're thinking, okay, Sabrowski can come in and get a lefty to end an inning, something like that. But I don't think the ultimate strategy was to include Sabrowski and Walters and then have Eli Morgan pitching key outs in the seventh and eighth innings. But, you know, that's sort of – you have to weigh the risk-reward, and that's part of the equation. Like, you know that that's a possibility as you're going through it. Otherwise, you would have left Boyd in there longer. So I think they were okay with that possibility, but certainly were hoping that they could stretch the relievers they trust the most to cover more innings.
All right, it's hard for us today. We're the first time we've been on the air, so we're basking in the glow of what happened on Saturday, which was a long time ago now, because the Yankees have been sitting there waiting, and now you have a matchup tonight. And we were talking about, yeah, every game seems in the playoffs like it's a must win, and we're talking pressure. And I said, I really want this one, considering what you've got in game two and how a team can get swallowed up by the moment, especially in Yankee Stadium. I know we think every team's different. This team, that won't happen to, but how important do you think tonight really is for the Guardians?
So a few things here. Number one, it was a benefit that they moved that game to 1 o'clock on Saturday. And I think what the league was a little worried about was if you play at eight, there was a threat of like maybe a rain delay at some point, and they were scared that the winning team was going to get into New York at like 5-6 in the morning and then have a workout that afternoon. And it was just like too quick of a turnaround. And like it still feels like this. It's like they just played that emotionally taxing game,
yes,
on Saturday, and we're already here. It's okay. Here's a game tonight. But I think for the Guardians, like, it was really beneficial to be staring at the end of your season, be staring at elimination in the seventh inning in game four in Detroit, and have your backs against the wall. You know, if like that's pressure, like that. If you can survive that and then survive the stakes of the game five. Like, yeah, the environment at Yankee Stadium, it'll be raucous. It always is. There are a lot of guys on this roster who have experienced that 2 years ago, so that helps. But also just like you've been in it. The Detroit crowd was great. You know, even at home like that, you're feeling the pressure there in game five. So I think that all helps just like numb you a little bit as you get ready for a series like this. And, you know, I know you guys have talked about it, but like nobody, like the league wants the Yankees to win, obviously. The Guardians are the only team that can screw this up. The other three teams would provide matchups that the league would be drooling over. And so I don't think they're thinking about that. You know, Alex Cobb is not thinking about that when he toes the rubber tonight, but like, it is an interesting mindset. Like they know they're the team here that's left. That's like not supposed to be here, that, you know, no one's itching to see the Guardians square off against the Dodgers in the World Series, except those who like the Guardians and those who maybe hate the Yankees or the Mets. But so maybe that does take a little bit of the pressure off of here, but you know, they've been through this for the last week, that I think that'll really help.
So is this a realistic play out of Lou Brown talking about them eating burgers? Hanging around? I mean, basically, yes.
I mean, it's like, what have they not experienced? Like, what's going to be new here? There's really nothing, like, that they haven't been through. I just, you know, I never want to say, like, they're playing with house money. I mean, it's...
I really think they are, though, Zach. I mean, this is as close to it as you're going to get.
Yes, but you're still... And Austin Hedges has kind of instilled this mindset in them since spring training, where even if guys showed up and they were like, all right, we won 76 games last year, like maybe we can be good. I don't know. You know, I don't know that players are thinking this is definitely a team that's going to the World Series, but he wouldn't allow them to think otherwise. And I think Stephen Vogt hammered that home as well. And, you know, now you reflect back and it's like, oh, maybe those guys knew something, or maybe they just knew how to lead. And I think that leadership and that confidence and everything they've gone through this season, where they've just, they've been a first-place team pretty much the whole year. That probably leads them to believe that they're supposed to be here, and that like there's no reason they can't walk into Yankee Stadium and get a win or two.
Lane Thomas's grand slam was an amazing moment. I argued it's a top-five moment that I've ever seen as a sports fan in this city. But I got to look at what Brian Rocchio did in this series. I mean, just unsung as a hero for this team, offensively, defensively, setting the table at the bottom of the order. Was he the most surprising performance that you saw in this last series against the Detroit Tigers?
For sure. And it's cool when you see a young player in any sport, like you're watching them gain confidence in real time and it's spurring their performance even more. I mean, you see like he was toward the end of the series, if he got out, he was so frustrated as if he's walking around like, I'm Brian Rocchio. I shouldn't be making outs. Like who would have, as if that would have flown at any point between April and September. But he looks like the real deal right now. And, you know, even he delivered an insurance run there in, what was it, the eighth inning? I think he had an RBI single, and he, like, rounds first base, and he was as jazzed up as he was for Lane Thomas's home run. Just, like, he's – you could tell he feels like he can do this. And, you know, you kind of see that switch flip on a player, and it's pretty cool to watch.
All right, these two teams obviously played a pretty darn good series in 2022, one that could have gone either way. We remember the Naylor stuff out of that. Is there anything about that Yankees team that is similar today? We remember Aaron Judge swinging and missing a whole bunch. What can we take away from that? Or is this a totally different Yankees team?
I think it's a more different Guardians team than it is a more different Yankees team. I mean, Soto is obviously just a monster addition, but there's still a very top-heavy lineup. You know, if you can, when these two teams played in late August, it was Judge and Soto. I mean, it felt like the two of them homered every time they were up, and so the Yankees took two or three. If you can quiet them, easier said than done. I think this lineup is very manageable. I think the Yankees bullpen is not as good as it was 2 years ago. I would say their starting rotation it's pretty similar. You know, you're going to see Clark Schmidt, who they saw a bunch of in 22. You'll see Gerrit Cole, obviously, who I feel like I've never seen Cleveland hit well, even if he was in Houston. You know, it's not too different. I don't know. The Yankees are, like, the Guardians were jockeying for the number one seed pretty much all summer. So I think these are two teams that are, they're different, but like they're not too far apart in terms of like true ability, I think. It's just going to come down to execution at key moments. Like, and that's not rocket science, but like, can you get Aaron Judge out when you need to get him out? Can you get Juan Soto out when you need to get him out? Can you prevent the guys in front of them getting on base? I think that's the key to everything.
All right, there was one number, talking to Zach Meisel from The Athletic, one number that stood out to me just by looking at the Yankees. Obviously, you know, offensively, they're going to be top five in almost every single category every year because of that payroll. But the fact that they drew 672 walks, that was 70 more than the next closest team. It's the most in Major League Baseball, by my count, since 2010. Is that because they've always been a disciplined team? They always see a lot of intentional walks, too, but that is an incredible number, and that's got to be something that the Guardians are going to be looking at with their pitching, right?
Yeah, it feels like they always rank at or near the top in that. I mean, that is just a Yankees, that's like their brand. It's just patience, and I think that's, you know, like what you got, and that's why I think, Anthony, what you're talking about with like the moment and everything and the pressure and Yankee Stadium in October, like, yeah, that's all important because you can't have like an Andrew Welser situation where a guy just the moment looks too big and they just don't have it, and that you like everybody has to attack the strike zone, and you can't be too nervous to just attack, and the Yankees hitters will force you to throw strikes. So, you know, that's why I think why you get a veteran in there like Alex Cobb in game one, who's got playoff experience, who's got just tons of experience. He's pitched, he's been in the AL East for a lot of his career, so he's faced the Yankees a ton. That could be help. That could be calming. He's the guy who throws strikes. He's looking to get ground balls. So we'll see. I mean, you can't pitch around guys. You have to, especially the guys who aren't Soto and Judge, you have to throw strikes, and you can't nibble. Otherwise, those guys will kill you.
Zach Meisel joining us here on the show. Zach, going back to Austin Hedges, his role within this team, like I remember halfway through the year, we're thinking, man, this guy, there's no reason for him to be on this team. They got it, and now it's like, man, I thought I saw a completely different Emmanuel Clase over these last couple of outings with Austin Hedges as his catcher. I mean, is it that cut and dry, or is he kind of a Sherpa for the rest of the organization, or the rest of the guys on this club?
I think all of the above. I mean, I think that was more Clase. Just you saw him stare down Kerry Carpenter after he struck him out in Game 5. That was. I'm not going to make the same mistake twice. And you know, Hedges. Look, it was the best case scenario when David Fry wasn't injured and he was able to catch. And Hedges played like maybe once a week. And he has helped Bo Naylor grow defensively a ton. I know he has not had the season that he wants or people want. He has been a liaison between the coaching staff and the players. And it truly is helpful in baseball when you have 162 games and you're going to go, like they went through a 7-game losing streak. And I think Hedges played a big role in getting them out of that rut and helping just whatever the mood, the tenor needs to be in the clubhouse. It's set by him and it helped. You know, he was here in 22. He leaves, goes to Pittsburgh, gets traded to Texas. They went through a terrible slide in September last year, and then they ended up winning the World Series. And that experience, like there are things he clutched onto that he brought with him back to Cleveland that he can help teach and make sure that this team has the right mindset throughout the year. So, like, yeah, that we you know, some of that stuff can be eyewash, especially on a team that isn't winning. But I do think he's been just a critical resource for this team and for a first-year manager, too. Like, he needs a guy like that. And Vogt was a catcher, so I think he understands the role. And, you know, I understand that he is not a good hitter. He's the first to admit that. But there's a reason why he's probably going to be a manager one day.
By the way, we have to clarify – well, you were in the stadium. Did they or did they not play Wild Thing, or did they play his normal entrance? Because Owen was in the stadium. Owen was like, they did not play Wild Thing. They played his normal entrance, and it was on TBS that they played Wild Thing for Emmanuel Clase.
Yeah, that was just TV.
kind of, was it bad that we just exposed that, or did that eliminate the magic, Owen? Is that worse?
No, I think the truth needs to be told, and Zach Meisel's the guy to tell the
truth. Yeah, you're the truth teller. Zach, final one. Should I say bring on the you-know-what?
I think you got to do it at like 9:53.
Let's go. Got a game tonight. ALCS. You don't get many of these.
Can't do it.
You have to. Mitch is in the room. He's rooting for the Yankees. Come on.
Zach, you said I have to say bring them on?
Look Mitch in the eyes and say it.
No, I'm not having him work me. Look at the smug look on his face. What? Judas
what
Priest.
What about the school children, Kenny?
I already ruined one classroom's life as a fan. He's wearing the... Can you be a grown adult taxpaying man in this country and be a fan of both the Yankees and the Guardians, Zach?
No.
Thank you.
Especially not this week. Let's go. Pick a side.
Yeah, pick a side and go with it, Mitch.
I've got my side.
Oh, my God. Whatever's most convenient for it, isn't it? Okay. Zach, thank you very much for the time. God bless you.
You got it, boys. Take care.
Zach Meisel from The Athletic on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Is Mitch going to root for the home team throughout? Is he going to pick one out of a hat every game?
I thought if I harassed him enough during the regular season, he would stop. He's not going to stop.
We're not going to have Mitch stand at the top of stairs and bop a ball into a laundry basket and pick which team.
I mean, at this point, if he keeps this up, if he's standing at the top of stairs, he's getting shoved on him. So... I don't want to physically assault Mitch.
Mitch,
but
you want to come sit with me in 537 next week?
Let's do it.
You will take a tumble in the 537.
Maybe I'll just jump off. No, I won't do that. I'm kidding.
Okay, jeez Louise. Mitch.
Took a dark turn.
Yeah, it took a turn.